Welcome back to the Kicks and Picks podcast. Coach Steve here with you, with Nick and Scotty to break down FA Cup round 5 and Serie A. I don't even know what match week are we in, Nick, like 27 or something?
Oh, man. Now you're asking the important like questions. That. 27. Yeah, you got it.
27. Home stretch. Oh, I got it. All right. So 3 from the FA Cup, 3 from Serie A, a couple big ones in Serie A we'll get to later. And we'll focus on like the Premier League matchups here in the FA Cup, starting with Bournemouth and Wolves on Saturday. Bournemouth, the home side, -140 on the money line. Wolves +320. And guys, what do you make of this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think Bournemouth have been kind of an up and down team in the last month or so. I mean, they came on. Areola did a really great job getting them, you know, into the top like six or so for, you know, through December into January. Then it's kind of cooled off a little bit. Wolves have been a mess most of the season, but as Nick will tell you in about 30 seconds, they still have one thing going for them, which is they can score. So I think this will be an interesting matchup. I think both teams here are going to try to probably play a pretty strong team, even though they played midweek. But this is certainly a competition where they can see themselves getting well into the quarterfinals, semifinals, potentially, depending on who they draw. So I think it'll be an interesting one. I don't know, Nick, where are you looking at right now with this matchup?
Yeah, I have a question first. I mean, as the co-host of a podcast that talks about England every single week, I should know the answer to this, but like, is there any sort of money situation that goes on with the FA Cup? Yeah,
there's light money. It's like a couple million for winning it. I think it's maybe like an 8 million, you know, pool if you win it, and then you probably get some smaller breakouts.
Okay, advanced. So like, but winning this direct tie doesn't necessarily, it's not going to make a dent in either of these teams' financials.
No. Bournemouth and Wolves are small enough where it might give them the ability to go out and, like, you know, pay the salary of a new player that comes in, right? Like, they're not going to be
okay.
Pink. But for somebody that's like at a top six club, like, it's not going to be significant.
Yeah. So I think, man, first of all, before I even get into my thoughts, I wasn't with you guys last week. I'm very happy that I wasn't with you because I had a like disastrous weekend, so I didn't get to give any losers out to the viewers. StreamYard just threw me off with that new song on the countdown. I really liked it.
Yeah, it threw me off too.
It's way better, but I'm trying to get my bearings. Scotty, I think you're spot on with knowing what I was going to say here. I think Wolves, if it makes sense, Wolves are better than their record indicates. They play better than the results that they get. We know their defense is a dumpster fire. It has been for quite some time, but they have serious attacking talent. They really kind of go into these games with a huge set of balls. They you know, no moment is really too big for them. And I just think they're getting a little disrespected at +320. Bournemouth's a better team. I mean, I'm not here to dispute that, right? They're at home. They should be a favorite, but I feel like Wolves have a little bit more to play for, like winning in this tie. That goes a long way for their season, and that'll go a long way for the rest of the year for the morale of this team. I'm almost wondering if they can pull off an upset. I'm not going to sit here and advocate for anybody to take them at +320, but could they advance?
I mean, they played a week ago.
They did play a week ago. Yeah.
Red Park conditioned that match a little bit. So
that's my fun fact. That's my fun fact. In 3 of the last 4 times these teams have met, Bournemouth have come away with a red card.
Interesting.
For whatever reason. It's not exactly like a local derby that I'm aware of. There's no real rivalry in this match. But for what reason, Bournemouth can't just keep 11 guys on the field.
Interesting.
So maybe that's the thing. Maybe Wolves just kind of have a little bit of extra luck here.
I think you could. Sorry, I'll give you a quick play before you go. I mean, I think, you know, Wolves score. They seem to score every single week. I think both teams score over 2.5 at -120. You know, it's maybe a little bit obvious, but it's probably the way I'd look to bet this game, unless you have a real edge. I mean, I'm assuming both are going to be playing lineups, like you said, right? Kluivert, I mean, this dude's been on fire. I joked about him on Twitter. I know we talk about him on and off, but he's blossomed into a very capable and important player, which I never thought I'd see. Yeah, it should be an interesting game. I mean, I wouldn't look past it for Wolves to get something out of it. I'm guessing these go to extra time and penalties, same way the last round.
Yeah, it should be the same as the last round.
So I could totally see extra time in a game like this. I think Wolves, should have enough belief and should have enough want to get something out of this game.
Yeah, I would almost go so far as to say, like, if you're looking for an interesting prop to play, Wolves to score first is +140. I don't, Matt, like I said, Bournemouth have been a little bit up and down, coming off a loss to Brighton 2-1. Looked a little sluggish in that one. Obviously, lost to Wolves the weekend prior. So I can see Wolves getting out to a fast start here. Obviously, their defense is not going to hold anything. Hence, you're over here, Nick. But I wouldn't mind just taking a little bit of a shot here on the Wolves to score first, just because, you know, trying to find a plus number here that feels good is a little difficult. Otherwise, definitely you're eating juice.
And I mean, hey, kind of take what you said. I mean, I don't know what sports books have what markets, but if you can get card props and there's to be a red card, I mean, it's probably sitting at +300, +350. Why wouldn't you take it?
Yeah.
I don't even necessarily mean for Bournemouth. I mean, like, in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind your both teams with score over 2.5 when they played back in November, where it was the only match of the four that Scotty referenced, not conditioned by a red card. It was a 6-goal match, 2 penalties to Bournemouth. They won 4-2. Could see certainly a 2-1 type match here or better. You know, both teams have given up goals. Both teams can score. So I think that makes a lot of sense when you can get it for only 2.5 goals. And, you know, neither team has a watertight defense here where we're it's not going to happen. So
no, that's exactly it.
I looked at Kluivert's prop +185, not big enough for me for a guy who's like not an out and out striker.
Agree.
Yeah. Cunha, no. I think is a little bit better. I have him at +190. Yeah. Okay. I like Cunha.
Great.
He's 13 goals, I think, so far in the Premier League this season. He's top 5 in goals scored. I feel like this is a match right for him to pick up a goal.
Yeah, so if you're looking for a goal score prop this weekend in the FA Cup, that might not be a bad one at +225. No, I like it. Considering I like he it just a lot. Scored against them last weekend. He's top 5, like you said. Could be a nice prop play.
Big number. Yeah, and then I would say the unserious bets are like red card to be awarded or penalty to be awarded. I mean, if you can get those markets. I don't know what the numbers are. I don't have them here. I know sometimes cup games are limited, but if those are available, why not? Yeah. Chaos.
All right. That brings us to the Sunday, somewhat early match, 8:45 a.m. It is Newcastle hosting Brighton. Newcastle +105 on the money line. Brighton +200. Brighton starting to pick it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Burned us yesterday when we took Bournemouth against them, right? Starting to climb. I don't have the Premier League table up in front of me because it's an FA Cup preview here that I'm up on, but they've been climbing a little bit. Newcastle up and down, lost to Liverpool today. Put themselves in a really good position for the title after today.
Yes, they did.
Isak did not play. We don't know if Isak will play this one because he was held out today, which kind of complicates things for Newcastle a little bit. And
he does.
I mean, if he doesn't play, the +200 or +115 in the draw no bet on Brighton looks pretty good, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's a question I want to pose that's semi-related to this game. Knowing what we saw today with Newcastle, now I'm not trying to take anything away from Liverpool and how well they played and how well they've played all year. Is Isak as important to this Newcastle team as Salah is to Liverpool? Because Newcastle had less than zero going on today without Isak in the game.
I think Newcastle's problem is their defense, which has historically, like the last couple of seasons has been pretty good.
That's history. You know, that's recent history.
Yeah, recent history. It's been pretty good. They're without a couple of center halves right now that are hurt. And I think they've been winning games by basically getting into shootouts and scoring, you know, 3 goals a game. And so, yeah, when you're missing Isak, who's probably a top 3 striker in England right now, certainly hurts. But Isak doesn't create as much as Salah. I think that's probably like the difference. You know, Salah right now, if you remove him from the team, he's got, you know, 40 plus goal involvements in the league right now. He's
silly.
Going to probably break the single season record for assists in a season. He's going to get really close to being, you know,
goals.
Haaland's record is pretty tough. I think he's got to average a goal a game from here on out to break that, but it's doable. And so, yeah, I think it's, you know, I think on the one hand, Salah offers more. On the other hand,
no, and I'm not trying to compare
Liverpool
the players.
Have a defense that they can probably
way, shape, or form trying to compare the players. I think Isak's a great story. I think he's going to carve out a very good career for himself. Nobody is comparable to Salah in the last 10 years. Like, in my opinion, just overall play year in, year out. I just meant like how important he is to this team based on how bad they look when he's not in the lineup. That's kind of what I was trying to say. Like Liverpool,
yeah.
I can't discount what Salah's doing. Like you said, 40 plus goal involvements, but they have other pieces that could come in and contribute.
Yeah, this I think team that's what it is, right? It's dead what else is there today. When he doesn't play, right? If Salah doesn't play, Szoboszlai can cook on certain days, right? Yeah. Diaz has his games.
Whoever
Nunez has his games at times. Yeah. Gakpo, right? Like,
Look bad, bro. And yeah. Brighton is. Listen, if Brighton's played 27 games, I've been wrong 25 of them. So I don't know what to tell you guys about Brighton. They probably come out and win this game. Or if I say they come out and win this game, Newcastle runs away at home. So I don't know if Isak plays or not is going to be really a big, big, big factor for me on getting involved one way or the other. Yeah. But do I see why Newcastle is, you know, a pretty big favorite at home? Sure. I think you have to give them that. They're just a better overall team if they're healthy.
And Brighton went there earlier this year and won back in October.
Bet I had that game wrong. If I look back, I guarantee you.
It's a tough place to go, but you know, they did take care of business, and that's before either of these teams was playing really well. Both of them kind of started slow from what I remember. But on that day, I'm looking back here on SofaScore, Brighton was plus 350 on the money line in that match and won 1-0. Danny Welbeck goal of all people. So
crushing.
I do think this is a match where you have to wait to see at least the injury report, if not the lineups.
Yeah,
you know, if Isak's ruled out on Saturday, then yeah, I would take that draw no bet at plus money on Brighton, or the two advance number is the same as the draw no bet plus 115. No. If Isak's playing, kind of changes things a little bit, and maybe you look at some other props or something, because
definitely
I think also if Isak plays, there might be more goals in this one where you might get an over 2.5 or a both teams score over 2.5.
I would guess the books are guessing. I would say the books are guessing he's going to play because the over is set at 3.5, which is a pretty high number for a Newcastle team that we just saw against Liverpool today. I don't know that they're scoring, you know, multiple goals without him right now.
And he's listed at minus 135 as the.
So I'm guessing he probably plays unless this groin injury is more severe than we realize. But you know, I think regardless if he plays or not, like I know. That's a big piece. And like, if he's not playing, you got to hammer it. But like, I'm going to project this, that he is playing. We have the numbers in front of us. I'm still comfortable taking Brighton draw no bet at plus 115, only because they had this ass kicking, you know, at the beginning of February against Forest, where they lost 7-0. Since that game, they've rattled off 4 wins in a row, including 2 against Chelsea. They did beat Brighton, Southampton, who's like bottom of the table. And then they had the win last week against, or yesterday against, Bournemouth. So they're beating good competition, teams that are around the same place in the table as Newcastle is right now. When I'm looking at their lineups, like it's a lot more along the lines of what you'd expect from a Brighton team. You know, Matoma's back and been playing on the left wing. João Pedro is playing up top and he's been producing goals for them. Defense has certainly rounded into form a little bit better. 2 clean sheets in their last 3 games. So I think when you're looking at this Brighton team on paper compared to what we kind of have seen from them the last 3 or 4 years. Yes, they've been picked apart by Chelsea and other squads, but the quality on the, you know, on the lineup sheet matches what we're used to seeing. Whereas in the last 2 or 3 months, they've been dealing with injuries. They've been trying to mix and match, you know, lineups and players. They haven't really gotten going. And I think after that, you know, beat down by Forest, they kind of had this like, you know, come to Jesus moment. They kind of gathered themselves. They're a little bit healthier now, and they've been able to kind of rattle off a pretty good run of form so far. So I'm comfortable taping Brighton plus 115 today, not knowing if Isak is starting or not, because if the lineups come out and Isak is starting, that number is not, you know, it's going to be different. So.
Agree.
Yeah. And I mean, just a goal score prop. I was looking, João Pedro, who does most of the damage for Brighton, plus 240.
Yeah.
Anytime goal score is a pretty solid number on him.
Definitely is. He scored this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that brings us to one of the last matches of the FA Cup weekend, Sunday, 11:30 Eastern. It's Man United hosting Fulham. Man United plus 135 at home on the money line. Fulham plus 180. Fulham coming off the win yesterday against Wolves. I believe it was 2-1.
Yep.
United, did they play the midweek or no?
They won 3-2 today. They were down in like the 4th minute, went up 2 goals, went Drew level, and then they scored really early in the second half and held on for dear life.
All right. So, I mean, we know the issues United have had this season so far.
Of which there are many.
There many are many. Issues. Fulham, they're hit or miss, right? they're solid. They're not great. They're not bad. They're just kind of like mid-table. You know, what do we see here?
So I will go first, Scotty, if that's okay with you. Please. I am just confused week in and week out how Manchester United continues to be a favorite. It's almost like the legacy version of Manchester City in sportsbook odds. Like City, we kind of talked about it a couple weeks ago, where like the books haven't caught up to how bad City's form is. They're still putting out lines based on who they think City is. Manchester United's still getting that respect, and they haven't been good in, I don't know, 6 years. Yeah, when was the last time United was relevant, honestly? So that's what I'm like kind of struggling with here. Fulham, they're like Brighton Jr. for me. It's a team I can never seem to make heads or tails of. I think they do a pretty good job of getting guys in that contribute, you know, every window and every year. They lose key players. They figure it out. They stay afloat. They're in that, you know, what, comfortable like 8 to 12th, 8 to 14th range.
Yep.
Good for them. I'd probably take a stab. I mean, why wouldn't you take a stab with them? You know, like, what has United done to show me I should bet United? That's really where I'm going with this.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, no, nothing. Yeah, I agree with everything you just said, Nick. It's, if you're going to have bet this game, there's no reason for you to take United, even with a plus number on the money line here, because you know they're going to struggle to score. That's been their MO the last month or so. Yep. Yeah, they had the 3-goal, you know, outburst today against Ipswich with 10 men, but that's Ipswich. They're about to get relegated. And really, outside of teams that are in the relegation zone, they're not doing much. So I absolutely would advocate for taking Fulham. Fulham to advance at minus 105 is, I think, a really good pick here. Yep. My pick preferably right now is probably the under 2.5 at minus 110.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we've talked about it. United strikers, terrible. You know, Xerxes, Hoyland, Fernandez has been pretty poor this season. They're not going to get a whole lot of attacking opportunity up top. And usually their goals are coming from guys like Harry Maguire, like who scored the third goal today off of a set piece. So I don't love there being a lot of goals in this, especially because I feel like weirdly, this is a game that means a lot to both clubs, right? Like, if you're Ruben Amorim and you've come in and you know, like, you're the Premier League, there's nothing coming out of the Premier League for them this season. So if you want to have anything to hang your hat on going into the summer, you need to have a good cup run, maybe at least to the semis. If you can get to the finals, great. So both teams are going to be really dug in and they're going to want a result. And knowing United's weaknesses up top, I think they're going to be probably playing a little bit more conservatively. Fulham on the road, certainly going to be more conservative. Yeah. I can really see this being like a 1-1-0, maybe a 1-1 game that goes to extra time. And again, I think at the end of the day, I think Fulham are advancing.
Yeah, I'm going to do my
two head to heads in the Premier League, 1-0 United victories, both matches.
Both times?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Scotty's bang on with the under. I think that's the way. But I would essentially look to do like my favorite thing here. Take Fulham to win in extra time at plus 1300, or take Fulham to win on penalties for plus 1200.
Favorite thing, like, buy the lottery ticket. You know,
buy a lottery ticket. I don't know. Like,
it's the FA Cup. When else are you going to buy a lottery ticket?
Kind of. I don't know. I mean, it's tough to get. I don't take either of these teams seriously. That's just really my big issue with it. I think you're there with the under. We just went on for 5 minutes about how bad United is. Take a stab. You know, I'm not, obviously don't put a full unit on it and don't go all in, but give me plus 1300. I don't know. And let me just root for chaos.
Yeah.
This is one of those games you could do that.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, what you could do is you could just go Fulham to advance and then do a little bit on Fulham in extra time, Fulham on penalties, and just hope for that to happen. If it doesn't, then whatever, you're basically coming out of the match, you know, all square.
Yeah.
But if you get, you know, that draw going into the extra time, then
you're covering Fulham to win. Yeah.
Yeah, you got a big lotto payout potentially.
For sure.
All right, let's bring it over to Serie A, Italy. A couple real big matchups. Really one that's could help determine the title. on Saturday. That's where we're going to start. It is Napoli hosting Inter. Napoli plus 210 on the money line at home. Inter plus 130. Now, Napoli been in great form, but up until recently, they've kind of cooled off now. So four straight without a win
for them. Who could have predicted that? Who, I ask
you. Yeah.
I mean, could have.
Every time.
You said it, right? And last week was actually a 2-1 loss against Como. You know, Como has been okay, but not a good loss for Napoli. That's coming off of a draw to Lazio, draw to Udinese, draw to Roma. You know, after they were just cooking for a while. It was nothing but green. Inter, only Italian team left in the Champions League, but they haven't had to play that yet, so that's not on their minds quite yet. They actually have that in the coming week, so that'll be in the back of their minds a little bit. But coming off a Coppa Italia victory over Lazio yesterday, 2-0. But their results in the league, too, have been mixed lately, right?
Terrible.
Win against Genoa, loss against Juve, win against Fiorentina, loss against Fiorentina in the makeup match, and draw against Milan. So, as you see there with the results against Milan and Juve, they haven't been great against those kind of top-tier teams in the league. So, Nick, I mean, both of these teams really kind of need this. Inter comes in 1 point ahead with 12 match days left. Like, I mean, this is big. It's Napoli at home. They got to kind of protect their house here.
But Napoli needed more is the short answer.
Yeah.
Both teams, you did a really good job, Steve. Shout out you with your voice going to really give us a good lead in there. Neither team has been very good. Atalanta has not been good either, but like, and now I'm looking and they're only 3 points back. They went on a horrific run since the turn of the new year. And like, they got to be kicking themselves looking at these results from Napoli and Inter the past couple of weeks that you just pointed out. Here's the thing. Like, there's no real betting logic here. There's no stats to back it up. There's no algorithms. I'm going fresh off of vibes with this analysis here. It just feels like a Napoli upset is coming. It has that feel like if it's now or never for Conte to make his stand with this team this season. And I'm not saying he can do it. I don't really know. I mean, Inter, in my opinion, hasn't really looked good throughout the season. We've talked about it multiple times. They have two or three standout performances. The rest of their games, they've kind of been on cruise control. But guess what? Good teams are allowed to go on cruise control. Good teams can play not their best and get 3 points. Inter's largely done that. But when they look bad, they look really bad. So they haven't looked great. Napoli's got a ton of injuries, so like it wouldn't even make sense that they'd be in this game, really, right? Like, we got Lukaku, who really hasn't done much. We got Anguissa, who's injured. Neres, who just got hurt. Thank you. Here, it's right up on the screen. You know, obviously, a couple of other guys, too. One of their defenders is hurt, too. I forget who got hurt back there, coach. But, like, where's it going to come from for Napoli? Is really, like, Scotty, I feel like he says it every week, like, who's scoring two goals for Napoli? But it just feels like a game that they're going to rally behind the coach, behind the starting 11. And if they're going to do it, this is their chance. It's I don't have any other way to put it. And Inter, you know, probably lock up the league with a win. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, injuries too. Of note, it was Mazzocchi was the defender who's injured.
I thought one of their center backs was out too.
No, nobody's listed as injured on Gazzetta here, but
okay.
Big one for Inter is Sommer got hurt recently. He's out for at least a few weeks. So, you know, you got your backup keeper there. Darmian says to be determined. Carlos Augusto to be determined. Zalewski is out for a couple weeks. Nobody suspended for either team. But, yeah, this is to be interesting. You know, this is a big one for Martinez in goal.
I'll book Inter. That, Johnny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so I'm looking at it. You got Lautaro, top scorer in the league in the last, 5 years. He's sitting at plus 225 to get a goal. You got Thuram, who's sitting at plus 250 to get a goal. He was, you know, he hasn't probably scored since like October, it feels like, when he went on that tear early on in the year. But really fat numbers. Lukaku, plus 300. I mean, somebody's got to do something, right? Like, somebody has to. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
Both team styles, I mean, definitely suit. Like, sit back, counterattack.
There's value in the goal score props for sure. Yeah.
If you take the right guy, score -125.
I think though this match here could be one in the midfield by Inter, right? You look at that Inguisa injury.
That's a big one.
That's big, right? The guy billing, I haven't watched a lot of Napoli this weekend. Who is billing?
I don't know, but all I know is he's 7'8". Like, dude looks like Frankenstein in the midfield there.
You know, Barella, Çalhanoğlu, and Mkhitaryan, they could win this match in the midfield, I think, for Inter. But
they haven't looked good. Like, they look kind of old, and I know
And they are getting old, right? Two of those three are getting old.
And Hakan's been kind of hurt. He's just coming back from injury. I don't think he's played a full 90. I don't know. Like, which Barella are we going to get? Are we going to get the Barella Inter fans talk about, or are we going to get the Barella that I see week in and week out kind of just there? I don't know. I don't, and I can't turn to Scott to make a case for Napoli, but like,
I won't be,
I know you won't, but like, I just, I can't buy Inter just the way they're playing the way, like, are they, I don't know. I
think it's a match. If you take Napoli, you were saying you know, it feels like Napoli, you got to take the draw no bet at +125. Sure. I don't think you can take them on the money line.
No, 100%.
Yeah.
Could it be a draw? Very easily. Draws +205. That tells you everything.
You need to know. You a lot when the draw is a lower number than Napoli to win. I think that says a lot there.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you guys. I think I'm taking the pick that I like most in this is Inter over 1.5. Napoli can't keep a clean sheet to save their life. You know, six straight games where they've conceded. Talked about the midfield imbalance there. I think there's going to be opportunities to be had for Inter's side. And yeah, I mean, I think the best thing I can say for Napoli in this is that this game is happening on March 1st because they didn't win a single game in February. They went, you know, three draws and a loss. It was about as bad as February as you can have. So maybe turning the physical page on the calendar helps them reset. But I don't know. It's a really tough run of form that, as I pointed out in the last week's pod with Coach, happened to coincide with, you know, the end of the transfer window and Conte being, you know, making his comments as he always does. Things seem to got a little bit off track. So can he get them on track now in probably the most important game of the season for them? I'm not so sure. And to be honest with you, like, Nick, I know you said a win here probably gives Inter the Scudetto a pretty free shot at the Scudetto at the very least. We've seen how they've choked away games as Napoli has choked away some games this month. But if this is a draw with Inter being on the road in this one, I almost feel like that's also a win for them as well. Like, this is a game that is feels very much like a must win for Napoli to one, get their season back on track, stop the skid. And two, build up a little bit more of a gap between them and Inter, or build up any gap between them and Inter, because the way things are going, like, I wouldn't trust Napoli over the next, you know, 10 weeks to outpace Inter. So,
In Napoli too, they benefited a lot from not having Europe early in the season when Inter and Atalanta and Juve and pretty much everybody else that was in the talks, at least for, you know, return to the top four or top five, was playing Champions League or Europa League or something to occupy them in the midweek.
100%.
And Napoli just went through that stretch in February, Scott, where there wasn't a midweek Serie A match. There wasn't a midweek Copa match. It was just play once a week, which is usually where Conte does his damage. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have a team involved.
He did damage in a different way.
I mean, squad was thin to begin with, right? Like of all the things we could say about Conte, which are all valid, and Scotty's number one hater, you're correct in pretty much all your critiques of him. Let's not sit here and pretend they have this super deep, amazing squad, especially once they got rid of Kvara.
Which is why you sold your best attacking player,
right?
You know, so the squad wasn't that good coming in. I think they've certainly overachieved, but that's why I'm almost inclined to back them here. Like, I don't know. I went on like a 5-minute monologue hoping one of you would like say something cool and agree with me and not agree with me, but like give me a reason to reinforce my thinking. I don't know. I just don't trust Inter. And like, this is going to be one of those boring classic Italian two managers who want to get a point or more at all costs are going to sit back. Ball possession doesn't really matter. They'll both stack the midfield with five players and, you know, try to hit you on the counter. I don't think it's going to be like the super showing for the league.
Under 2.5 at -145 almost feels like
I was looking at
-145 for a reason, right?
Under 2.5 and Inter double chance is -115. So that's kind of where I would lean.
I don't hate that because I think Inter, like you said, goes for that 1-0. Maybe you get a 1-1.
Yep.
And you know what? If you get a 2-1, then so be it. You just take your loss and you move along, I guess.
Yeah. Only last thing I'll point out, Raspadori is +400 to score. He started in two straight. I don't believe he's scoring in this game, but pretty good number for a guy that's on a good run of form and motivated. Eduardo, that's a good point too, right? Champions League is back. Super duper sandwich spot, right? So what do they prioritize? That's the question. And I don't necessarily have the answer. But I think what's important, getting the three points one, here, right? Or
you got to prioritize this one.
You got to prioritize this one because that's only the first leg on Wednesday or whatever day they play. And you know, Scudetto's got to be their first priority because they are up in first place.
They get the second leg at home. So if they can keep it close against a Feyenoord side that they should keep it close, then they can come back to the San Siro and a win gets them through. And they play Monza, you know, between that. Fair. So.
That's always
There's your big rotation match right there. Yeah. All right. Moving to Sunday, we're going to look at two of the matches. One of them is noon on Sunday Eastern, and that is Roma-Como. My team, 10 straight unbeaten in Serie A. Hopefully not jinxing by saying that. The last loss was against Como, Nick. Your match of the season. Roma, like Inter, has European football. After this, they go. Actually, it's a home match, I think, against Bilbao first. So they don't have to travel at all between these two matches. But you still have to worry about that on Thursday. They're minus 115 on the money line. Como plus 275. How much does Roma rotate here? I don't know because you still got 4 days in between. It's not a quick turnaround. I think you'll see a little bit of rotation. But, I mean, the Roma I saw, I know it was Monza. And I know it was Parma and these teams. But, like, Ranieri has them playing right now. And this is a revenge match for me. So, seeing Roma on – yeah. To see Roma at 115 on the money line at home where they're really much better, I think, to me – as someone who watches Roma week in, week out, that, like, to me, that's a must bet. I don't care if they rotate or not.
Listen, the thing I'll say, it doesn't really matter who they've played. You have to win. And Roma hasn't had a consistent 11, right? I mean, back me up on that or confirm that for me. Week in and week out, there's different guys playing.
There was a stretch, like, in January where he played the same 11 pretty consistently before they had to worry about the midweek stuff.
Okay.
And now he's been rotating pretty well.
So whoever's been in there has looked pretty good. So I have to give Roma that. But I feel like Shomurodov has more goals than Dovbyk. Like, I know he doesn't, but it feels that way. And, like, you know, he's been a bench player for 6 months. Como, I have to get on my soapbox. And as I've done now, I guess 4 times this year, 2 for a good reason, 2 for a bad reason. Como has been exactly who I thought they were twice. They've been exceptionally better than I could have ever hoped to give them credit for twice. They have now clawed their way back up to 13th. You know, very likely safe from relegation. I think they're like 7 or 8 points up with like 60 or four teams in, like, in between them and relegation. I don't think we're cashing plus 900 for Como to go back down. RIP that ticket. Two impressive wins back to back, right? Napoli and Fiorentina.
Beat Atalanta earlier in the year when we were on Atalanta, I remember.
Have to give them credit. They don't seem to be scared of these big games. Yes, back when they were in, like, the worst run of form and on 5 straight losses, I took Roma money line. Like, I was joking. It was my play of the season back in December or whenever it was, November. Roma sucks. Got to give Como credit. We talk about him every week, but he warrants being talked about every week. Nico Paz is the dude. His goal scorer number continues to drop. He's now in the mid 300s, down from, like, you know, plus 500 we were getting a month ago, plus 450 we were getting just a few weeks ago. He drives that offense. He's been very good. Cutrone has been also very good for them, like a super outcast, right? Somebody we heard about maybe, what, 5, 6 years ago with Milan, maybe even longer. You know, feels like he should be like 30 and he's probably like 24. So he seemed to pick it up. Gotta respect Como, but they're not getting enough love on the spread for me to get involved. So I kind of, as much as I hate to say it, I'm going to back Roma back-to-back times in this fixture. If Como could pull something off and, you know, get 3 big statement wins in a row, like, I'll have to make a formal Twitter apology to everybody that I talked into.
I think
one thing, go ahead, Scotty. I'll let you go first.
I think listening to both of you guys, I think what I've kind of talked myself into here is that, I think Roma probably get this done, but Como's not laying down. They're not going to make this easy one. both teams to score are sitting there at minus 125. Como have scored in 8 of their last 9, and the one game they didn't score was at Bologna, where they went down to 10 men in like the 35th minute. So yeah, minus 125, it's not like the sexiest number, but like it's definitely close enough in terms of value that I think I would probably make that my play in this one.
Yeah, as you were starting to talk, I scrolled down and saw that, and it just jumped out immediately. For whatever reason, when I was looking into the game earlier, I thought the number was way, way, way worse. Minus 125, I would take that all day.
Yeah.
And one thing I would look at, obviously you have to see lineups too, because you have to see how much Ranieri rotates, but the goal scorer numbers in this one are pretty big. Everybody's over plus 200. Sule has been playing really well. I would look at him even goal or assist if he plays. He had a lovely assist to Shmurdov just Monday. You know, I don't think Dybala starts. I think you're going to try to kind of keep him for emergencies in this one, I would think, with Bilbao lurking on Thursday. But, you know, Shmurdov,
I was told all week on Twitter he's still the best player in Serie A. He's not going to start?
Well, I think you pick and choose your spots with him, right?
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Oh, ask Porto, and they would probably say he is the best player in Serie A. But,
interesting. Okay.
Shmurdov at plus 225 is a solid number. If he's starting again, he's been playing well, and he's been getting pretty good service. But like, those are some guys you might just want to like keep an eye on, because
so what do you make, like, what are you doing with Dovbyk?
It's interesting because obviously he's got a reputation. They spent a lot of money on him. No, he's not world class. But you know what? Shmurdov has to be giving him food for thought at the very least while he sits here with his injury. Like, because he was a very late scratch against Porto. Shmurdov was not supposed to start that match. Dovbyk had some kind of issue in warmups or whatever. Shmurdov starts, had an assist for Dybala, played pretty well, starts again this weekend, and he scores again. It's interesting. Another guy who I would just say, not saying he's a guaranteed goal scorer, but kind of in that Nico Paz vein, what he's been doing for Roma this year, is Alexis Salamakers. He's got like four goals and two assists in Serie A, and the goal he scored on Monday was a banger. Like, nobody takes that shot on Roma besides Dybala, usually left foot from the right wing. I wish Roma had gotten him on a permanent swap with Tammy in the summer, because now it's going to be hard to keep him at a reasonable price, I think. But I don't know what Milan was thinking, letting him walk away on a loan, and they let him go on loan to Bologna last year. He's been outstanding. I was completely wrong on him.
He's been really good, but he does drop like one stinker every like 3 or 4 games, or maybe like 4 games. So just proceed with caution. If he had a really good game last game, he's due for a bad one, but he's been phenomenal.
Yeah, to answer Eduardo's question, I think Roma will care about it, because I think they'll have enough rotation that guys that start will be hungry. If like a Baldanzi gets a start or a Sule, they're going to know they're not starting on Thursday as well. I think Ranieri's going to do enough mixing and matching to keep the guys energized and fresh, and I think hungry for a win. At least that's my hope.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm sorry if anybody's listening and not watching, and Eduardo's brought up a couple times now with Inter and now with Roma. We didn't really talk about it in the FA Cup, but just proceed with caution. I mean, it is a sandwich spot weekend, right? Like, we're focusing on the weekend games, obviously, because that's what's in front of us. But definitely teams that have European commitments midweek, I mean, has to be taken into consideration. I'm not saying fully fade them. I'm just saying proceed with caution.
Yeah. All right, and that brings us to the other big one on Sunday, which is your boys Lazio against Lisi's boys Milan. Milan's got a big one tomorrow, first and foremost, on Thursday. They got that makeup match against Bologna. Those two teams trying to get into the top 5, top 6 European spots. Roma's creeping up a little bit. You got Atalanta in third. You got Juve in fourth. You've got Lazio fifth. I think it's, I'm going off the top of my head, but I think it's Fiorentina, Milan all over in that 6th, 7th, 8th, yep, Bologna kind of area, where they're all a few points apart here in the table, where it's Lazio on 47, Fiorentina on 42 in terrible run of form, Milan on 41, Bologna 41, Roma 40 now. So that match in hand that Milan has is a big one tomorrow, because they can kind of get a little distance from Bologna and Roma and leapfrog Fiorentina if it goes right for them. Yeah. So they could be coming in right on Lazio's heels on 44. They could be 6 behind Lazio on 41 if things don't go their way. So that kind of changes the dynamic of this match just a little bit, depending on how that goes. But, Nick, how do you feel about Lazio heading into this one?
Exceptionally disappointing draws in back-to-back weeks for Lazio, where they could have really put themselves in pole position to get something out of this season. You know, yes, one of them was to Napoli, but they handily outplayed Napoli. I don't think, I mean, check me on that. I don't believe I'm being biased to say that Lazio outplayed Napoli in that game and very easily could have or should feel like they could have walked away with more. And then you go and play next to last place Venezia and you have a 0-0 draw. So two really incredibly shitty results for Lazio, where they could have set themselves up with a little bit of cushion here. You know, they would have even been ahead of Juve or tied with Juve for a win. And then you could kind of look towards top four as a viable opportunity. I think they did themselves a big disservice because Milan hasn't looked good either, right? They had a pretty terrible loss last weekend as well. They're now out of Champions League, obviously. Lazio still has Europa to play for. So, like, what do you do if you're Lazio? They are one bad result from just having to 100% go all into the Europa League. They should probably be doing that anyway. But realistically, that competition doesn't look super stacked. You know, they went undefeated in the group stage. So could they carry that momentum and that belief? Could they win it? I mean, I don't know. I'm not ready to say all that. But you kind of have to figure out what you're doing. And the bad run of form, like you said, Fiorentina, three straight losses, Milan, Bologna, you know, good, not great, mixed results, let's say. Lazio has to be kicking themselves a little bit. This result, this game is going to tell me everything I need to know about the rest of the season. If you can win this game and beat kind of a down Milan team away from home, you know, you stay the course. They just finished a pretty brutal schedule to just kick off 2025. And Milan, I can't make heads or tails, man. Like every week I say this, we have a lot of guys in the chat that are Milan fans that show up for us every week. Appreciate all you guys, Mike, John, Ahmed, whoever else comes in. I feel the heartbreak with you guys because I just have been expecting so much more from this Milan team every single week and I haven't gotten it. That said, Jimenez is really, really good. Forget about the goals that he actually scores. He works really hard. He creates a lot of offense. He would fit into Chances FC, as Scotty would like to say. They seem like a lot to overcome at home in this one with Europa looming, in a couple days' time. I wouldn't be shocked at a draw in this game. I don't know how I'm going to get involved with either side, quite honestly.
Yeah, I think Lazio's in a tougher spot, like you said, because they're on the road and they have Europa League on Thursday.
And the over is not good enough to play on its own, which I tend to like to do in Lazio games. Just play a straight up over and it's sitting at -150.
Yeah, with Milan now out of Europe, they don't have to worry about that midweek fixture.
And they need wins too, right? They absolutely, like, this is what they have top four, top five to play for. That's singular.
Yeah, look, if Milan doesn't win tomorrow and they don't win again on Sunday, top four is probably done, even if it, you know, if it's not already, right? And then top five and six,
like
maybe
4 points minimum for them, these next two games.
And this is a big six pointer.
Nick, I know you don't want to be talked into playing either side, but
always do.
Talk me into any bet. Your favorite bet of all time, the plus quarter goal. Lazio plus quarter goal is +105.
It's not bad.
I feel like that's where, if you're going to pick one team over another, I think that's kind of where I would lean on it, because it does feel like this, honestly, this feels like this game that's going to end in a draw. I feel like this is like a 1-1-2-2 type game.
Agree.
So I don't mind having, like, I was flirting with the draw no bet at +155. I felt like that was just a little too ambitious. I don't know that Lazio will win, but it'd be nice. What I will say, I'll give you my expert Serie A analysis right now for my favorite pick in this game. It's a player prop, surprise, surprise, but Zaccagni is -105 shot on target going up against, I'm presuming, Kyle Walker.
A million times,
Again, in my opinion, one of the worst right backs right now in the game with his lack of pace and just general laissez-faire attitude towards most things going on in the game. And he's been playing pretty well, Zaccagni, right? He's had a pretty good run of form. Basically, even money for a shot on target in a game where I think there's going to be pretty heavy offense and against a pretty feeble right back. I think that's a very big
solid number. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. What do you got for Isaksson?
Give me one second.
-125 for one shot.
That's not bad either. I'm not necessarily saying both guys are going to get it, but he handles a lot of the ball and makes really bad decisions. So, like, he'll dribble into nowhere and then have no choice but to take, like, a shot directly at the goalkeeper from outside of the box that's, you know, easily saved.
All right. So, if Kyle Walker is still out injured, you're still getting Zakagi against a 19-year-old Jimenez who, you know,
plays offense more than defense.
Yeah. Should be still able to be exposed. Faster, has more legs in him, but exposed nonetheless.
I agree.
Yeah, no, I don't mind shooters in this match. I think those are really solid numbers you point out there, Scott. You know, you could probably even parlay a couple of the Milan guys that have, you know, -165, like Pulisic -165, and
yep.
João Felix at -185.
Ugh, I can't advocate for that.
Or, you know, Leal's -160. Like, two of those guys. Santi Jimenez needs 2+ to hit 160. His one shot is -285, so it's not really playable. Yeah. But, those are shooter targets might be something here, because we don't know if anybody's going to score. Maybe, maybe not, right? Nobody's playing that well. I mean, yeah. Could be something to keep an eye on. I do like the Zakanyi one, though. Like, he's got to be getting a shot a game, Nick, or close to it, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Trying to think, like, who do we trust to score the goals? But, like, over 3.5 is +200.
You mentioned Isaacson. He's averaging 2 shots on target per match.
Yeah, there you go.
You get him at -125.
He handles the ball a lot. Whether he should or shouldn't is up for debate, but he wants to drive a lot of the offense. I'll at least give him that.
And Zakanyi averages 1 per match on target.
Yeah, Scotty's bang on. Yeah, so I don't know where the goals are coming from, but I do know both defenses are bad. Goaltending has been very suspect for both of these teams. Like, do we hit like an over 3.5 at +200?
A lot.
2-2 correct score at +1,000. Like, I don't know. 2-2 like,
correct score, you could talk to me more into, because that's more, again, I'm a big time like storyline kind of person. Like, that feels more.
Yeah.
Like, it's written, ready to happen.
Like, would a Milan 3-1 win shock me? No. But yes, it kind of would, because they every week they let kinda me down. Would.
It kind of would.
Yeah.
An interesting number on Zakanyi also. I mean, he's got assists in. Oh, this might be the Copa. Show me the Copa. Check those shot on target numbers. It was still set on the Copa from this past midweek. But Zakanyi, 6 assists this season. He had 3 matches in a row prior to these two shutouts that they just had. He's +550 for an assist.
That's a big number.
+550.
Who's scoring?
Oh, that's the thing. Who's he finding? I know. But
that's my
shots
problem.
On target. Yeah, shots on target per match. In Serie A, Isaacson is second on the team at 0.7 per match. So changes that number a little bit. That's why he was averaging 2. I don't think we'd be getting that number.
I think he gets 1. I don't know. Yeah, dude. I mean, good games, but like, I don't think it's going to be this great showcase for the league in either of these matchups. Like, I think it's going to be painful. We'll all be watching as fans, but really grasping at straws to get some good bets.
Yeah. Sometimes those are sometimes the hardest matches to handicap and find good bets that you feel comfortable taking, I think. So.
Can I interest you in every single underdog in MLS?
Go for it.
Atlanta United +220 at Charlotte. Love them. Columbus Crew away. Love them. When I say underdog, I mean away teams. FC Cincinnati at Philadelphia. Love them. Give me a both teams to score and like over 2.5 in every single game. I think what MLS set a record for goals last week, right? Like most goals in open day.
Score for every game is probably -170 to start and then up from there. Yeah. Nick, how about this? Can I talk you into Verona +1.5 at Juve this weekend?
No, you can't talk me into Verona anything ever.
Juve have only covered that twice in their last 14 matches.
Yeah, you mentioned that I think they only scored 2 goals in like that time, right? Like not even 1-2. Like haven't they only even scored 2 in like something very similar?
It's a goal and a half. Basically even money.
If it was plus two, you could talk me into it.
Yeah, that's every time there's a plus two, though, Nick.
That's
true.
Is
there a team that I couldn't talk you into plus two?
I almost took the team playing PSG in the French Cup today that plus four and a half, and I didn't do it. PSG won 7-0. Okay. I came really close.
Good on you.
It was a good
one. Which French Cup match was it, Nick, a couple weeks ago? We were on.
Don't even bring it up, man.
It was the day I had to stay home with Luca. I can't remember, but we were on somebody against Dunkirk because it was like live bet, and Dunkirk ended up winning on penalties.
After they tied the game on their only shot on target
in
the
97th, right?
Yeah. Don't remind me.
Yeah, don't play the French Cup.
Is Empoli due for a letdown after today's result? Genoa at home. Genoa's been really good. I hate Genoa, but they've been
the
really,
same
really
Empoli
good.
Team though, is it?
Right, it'll be their actual starters.
Be
their
How real can you be let down when you didn't even play?
Relegation zone Empoli defeating Juve in the Coppa Italia in the penalties in the round of eight. That's bananas.
Yeah. Shit, man. What else? Did you guys see anything else?
That's about it. Like I said, yeah. FA Cup, it makes it a light week.
I know.
There's a part of me that would love to kind of back Plymouth Argyle against City this weekend because they've knocked out two consecutive Premier League teams with a 1-0 win. So some form of Argyle plus goals or under.
Like, how bad did City look today,
win? I got one to keep an eye on. I don't know how good Augsburg has been lately, but Freiburg.
Freiburg's been good.
Augsburg, yeah, they've been really good. They're pushing for top four. Their draw no bet is -110 at Augsburg on, I think it's a Sunday match, the last match of the weekend in the Bundesliga. Funny story, last Friday I had Freiburg, but I was like, you know what? They've been like keeping clean sheets three matches in a row. They haven't been scoring a ton, so I'm going to get a little extra juice on them and take, I think it was Freiburg
under three and a half.
Four and a half.
Oh.
And they put up a fifth in the 92nd minute or something to lose me the bet.
Kick right
like,
in the
that's
nuts.
What I get for being greedy, I guess. But they absolutely cooked. So that they're one to keep an eye on. They've been playing really well.
All right, man, let's take Plymouth plus 2.5 at City, plus 110.
I could kind of be convinced.
Like I said, two consecutive 1-0 wins against Premier League clubs in the last two FA Cup rounds for them.
Yeah, I could buy that. I mean, like every 10 minutes that go by, you're getting, getting a couple dollars on that cash out.
Haaland is back. I guess that's maybe like the best argument against this is he played today, but I mean, City's not scoring a bunch.
I could be convinced. Juve plus 400 for a draw against Hellas. Wait a minute, they are kind of due, but technically they drew today.
Yeah, it was a penalty game. Although it is a draw.
I gotta Google somebody from City because I've never heard of this guy before, and he's -190 on the anytime goal scorer list. 20 years old. All right, Divan Mubama. Remember the name, I guess.
Sounds like he like could have transferred from Iona. Like that's,
man. One of us could be close to even money playing for City against Plymouth.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Jeez.
All right. So I guess we'll wrap that one here.
Sorry, guy. I'm grasping. We looked at this slate. I mean, obviously, we gave you the thoughts on the big games, but this is a really unfavorable weekend.
No.
Yeah.
Not much more to say.
Right. Well, like, subscribe, and share, even if you think our picks this week are shit. And be sure
hey, they've been good.
Be sure to turn on those notifications and join us live on Wednesdays, usually around this 8:30 time slot on YouTube, and then the next day on audio. So thanks again for listening. We'll catch you guys later.
Yeah. Hey, shout out Coach Steve for